Ah, that was a refreshing intro, guys. Something not like anything we've had before. We're going to get into more detail on that in a second, and then later on in the show. But first, I'm your host, Xavier Woods, with the returning Connor Kingston and Big Pop, Dario Passarelli. Did anyone hear me? That Connor's back?
Connor's back, and now you're equating us to the New Day?
I think we are the New Day of the professional wrestling podcast world. Yes, sir.
And now, if I just sit here in silence, does it actually mean I'm back?
Nothing's ever changed.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
that's a... Oh, okay.
But, I mean, obviously you're referring to me as, like, Big D.
I did not say
that. That was a big pop. You know, that was a direct reference. But if that's the case, and thankfully to all of our listeners out there, you're not able to see this. That means I get to shake my booty like Mr. Big E himself.
He shakes more than just his booty. I'll tell you that much. That's not just booty shaking.
Well, I'm doing my
shakes that big D.
Gyration.
Oh my goodness. the least PG thing on WWE television today is the New Day's dancing.
Boy,
no question.
That would have ranked, what, 137th back in the Attitude Era?
Oh, yeah. They would have been the tame act. Très erotique, as they say.
But if you want to get off the start on the Hell in the Cell. Yeah, okay, we'll edit that part out.
No, we're not.
I got the distinct feeling that it was more of an Attitude pay-per-view than anything else.
Yeah, not just Attitude Era. I'll jump ahead a little bit, but we'll talk about more in detail about the Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt match. Really reminded me of actually an ECW type brawl. I know people are gonna say, "Oh, it didn't have like blood and it wasn't quite that." If anyone thinks it wasn't quite that wild, it was a really wild match, I thought.
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy match. Just the amount of tables they broke through.
Oh, ridiculous!
That spear into the corner table, that was something. I wasn't really around, like, old enough to watch ECW when it was around. I've only seen like old footage and stuff, but it definitely reminded me of ECW-esque type of match.
Well, if none of you have seen it, then all you need to know is that Connor actually was impressed by a Bray Wyatt and a Roman Reigns match. Like
that
that's all you need to know.
That was the most
you haven't seen it yet.
Incredible night or incredible moment of the night for me that I actually enjoyed Bray Wyatt on my television screen.
You know, let's just talk about it then, because let's start off the show on a high note. First of all, it was not... These two have been developing their chemistry for a while now. I will say the first time they ever wrestled...
Way too long.
The first time they ever wrestled on Raw, I thought it was horrible. I mean, it was so bad, and I felt bad for them a little bit that they were thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me interrupt for a second. When you say the first time that they wrestled, are you talking about one-on-one?
One-on-one, on Raw.
Not Shield and...
No, Raw. Those are fake. Those are great.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
But one-on-one, I was like, okay, this is going to be trouble. It's just you've got two guys who are kind of a slow, methodical way of wrestling, and I don't think either of them are quite ready to carry the other. And sure enough, it was a snooze fest. This was a long time. This was shortly after the Shield broke up, I think. The Shield was still together. I'm sorry.
Was that the first time they fought one on one?
Yeah, it was on a Raw. I think it was. Okay. It was either the main event or the co-main. I think it was the main event of a Raw or the co-main.
I was going to say, was it after Money at the Bank this year?
No, it was.
I assume they probably fought before.
They were still with. He was still with the Shield.
Feud.
That's when they had everybody in the corner too.
Right. He was still with
exactly. Ready to interfere by the end.
So, yeah. But they've had a bunch of good matches. I think a lot of their matches they've had recently at the special events were good. So I was actually really looking forward to this match. I didn't know it would be the best match of the night. I thought it'd be good. I thought it was the best match of the night. At first, I thought they were rushing through some of the moments a little bit. I thought they could have sold a bit more some of those crazy stunts they did. But now that I look back on it, I think it was just right. It wasn't a perfect match, but I thought it was very, very entertaining.
Oh, I looked at it, and there was a one moment in the match when Bray Wyatt went to put Roman Reigns and Sister Abigail, and Roman Reigns actually spun out and flipped Bray over and tried to get a quick pinfall.
Amazing. The move of the night.
But that was a point. Like, Roman Reigns made a wrestling move. That was fantastic. It caught me off guard.
And it just looked really smooth. It looked really smooth. I actually bought it as a finish. I thought, like, oh, that's it. That's a finish. I thought, like, he got him. He got him 1, 2, 3. And that's the magic of wrestling, when they can fool you, when they can still fool you, even though we've seen these guys wrestle several times, you know?
Yep.
The table spots. There were three of them. Mm-hmm. They were all vicious. The first one was the Bray Wyatt sort of the rock bottom throw through the table. Was that the first one?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the order.
Golly, that was...
I knew the spear was the last one, right?
I mean, that's just a straight fall from about 10 feet up in the air. And then the spear, it looked like Roman almost broke his own damn neck because he speared him and kind of went vertical to the ground.
Yeah.
What was the last one?
I think that was the third one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, what was the other one? Two? There were three. Oh, were there only two? No, because he definitely broke out three tables. Am I crazy?
Maybe.
Did I just imagine another table being broken?
Maybe it was in the Dudley Boys match.
Because surely Bray went through a table at some point, didn't he? Didn't he just get like straight power bombed through? Didn't Roman just like power bomb? Am I crazy? Was it a dream I had?
I'm Maybe. Not sure.
Am I creating spots in this match because I enjoyed
Maybe
it so much?
Maybe he did power bomb through a table.
Yeah, I'm almost certain.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but regardless, I gotta rewatch that. I mean, yeah, I cringed. Those table shots look really good, and I got worried.
Yeah, worried.
I always get worried. I don't want to see these people get hurt.
Look at this guy. Look at Pop. So care. I always paint you as like this borderline psychopath. Like when you want to say stuff. When you say stuff.
No,
like,
it's just his children.
No, and I won't go into Pop's history of violent statements. But yeah, I think if there was any like hint that Roman Reigns could be the man that they want him to be someday, this is a baby. This was a step. This was a step in that direction.
Definitely baby positive. Step for a baby face.
Very good, Connor.
Thank you. That's
you're
what
you're
a
cunning linguist. I always tell people what a cunning linguist you are.
And, yes, I am a cunning.
Is that a dirty word?
No.
He's are good you with sure?
His, he's good with his words. I don't understand. Why would that
are
be?
Are you sure?
How could that be perceived as anything else? I think the right man won as well.
Yes.
This was essentially a feud ender. And, you know, Bray wasn't hurt by too much, especially what happened later in the night. And we may as well jump ahead to the main event now, because I think they should be compared, the main event Hell in a Cell match and the... whatever it was, the second match of the night, Hell in a Cell match. Because obviously the anticipation...
Demon Kane versus Seth Rollins.
Yes.
What? We can forget about that one.
We'll mention it
later. What match?
obviously the storyline for Taker-Lesnar is much, much stronger than the Reigns-Bray Wyatt storyline. And the match itself was also excellent. I when I say that I think the Reigns-Wyatt match was better, it's just because I think that match was great. Not that the Lesnar-Undertaker match wasn't also good. And man, it was... It was bloody. It certainly looked more grueling.
Yeah, it was definitely the visual of it was definitely it looked more grueling, like you said. Did you guys? I was watching it with Tyler Bitten. Shout out to Tyler. He just wanted to watch Hell in a Cell for some reason with me.
Way to go,
really
Ty.
Nice. Yeah, he was saying, "Oh, he actually hit his head. He's bleeding." I didn't think they're allowed to blade anymore.
Yeah, and that's why. It seems like he did it the hard way. It seems like he didn't blade. I think he may have. So if you see I watched it in slow motion a couple of times because I'm sick like that. If you see, he does get his hand. You know, the commentators said this too. He got his hand up, so it almost looked like, oh, he didn't.
But he hit the but above he clearly, his hand first.
But he clearly does hit it and did not stop himself. Mm-hmm. And it almost looked like he hit it too hard. And I actually did think he was legitimately concussed. He was kind of, you know, he started stumbling around after to sell it. And I thought like, oh, did he actually concuss himself? Is this like what happened, the reverse of the Taker, their first match? Thankfully, apparently he was not concussed. I hope. I haven't seen any reports.
I still think he bladed.
And well,
and he might have because his hand is kind of up there and he stumbles off camera for like a second mm-hmm. and you can't see him. But I was trying to find where he did
Taker
it.
Taker was also bleeding too, wasn't he?
Taker was also bleeding. That's the point I was going to bring up. They both hit the same post in the same corner and they both started bleeding after that one hit.
Are you
they there was a blade
some,
under the ring in that
David
corner?
David Copperfield-esque like prop
under the ring?
Under the ring or like...
Mirrors.
Not on the post.
Smoking
a magical post.
But I also saw at one point in the match after Brock was bleeding, him checking his wrist. So I don't know if the blade was in his wrist still.
From what I read afterwards, I heard that Mr. McMahon enjoyed the match, but he did say he didn't like the blood or that there was too much blood or that he didn't like the blood at all, one of those two things. So mm-hmm. again, I'm not sure how intentional it was. I thought this was a better match than the Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns, and not because of the blood or because of the blood. I just could not believe Lesnar selling the way he sold.
I don't know why you say that though, because he sold in all his matches, in like all his Taker matches.
Not as much.
And the Triple H matches.
Let me put it this way. He sold it enough to convince me, which was the first time that that's happened.
I think
to that degree yeah. of that I looked at him, I walked away from that match looking at Brock Lesnar differently, going, wow, he is more of a complete wrestler than I gave him original credit for.
I actually think Brock is underrated as a seller because He's actually really good, I think, at getting other people over and making them look strong, even though he himself is such a beast. Mm-hmm. It's like so overwhelming. I actually think he's really good at it.
I agree with you, Alex.
Yeah.
I've always thought he was like a decent seller. Not a great seller, but to be able to sell a move from Seth Rollins, that's not believable.
When Brock is like twice his size.
Yeah, right. And, but that's the whole thing. It's not so much even the twice his size. Brock has to come across as the beast. Like he has to be the invincible. He almost has to be that.
But they've rarely portrayed him like that, though. He almost always like takes a beat. Like, usually he takes a beating in a lot of his matches. Like, ever since he came back. Except like the big show he ran through, which was fine. And
or the 18 suplex John Cena match.
Yeah, but even back in the day, like, he would sell it. Like, I think he's good. I know what you're saying. He there was a different sort of emotional believability this time, like a fear almost, which is true. But he is a good seller, though. Yeah,
and he definitely made Undertaker look 15 years younger, didn't he?
Boy, yeah, I think both guys deserve a lot of credit. I hate that we go into every Undertaker match now with like this fear that like, oh, is something going to happen? Especially with Brock. You know, is one of these suplexes going to go wrong, and that's it. Like, that's the end of it.
I don't think it's an irrational fear either. I think it's legitimate. Yeah. Like,
and you know, I think that's part of the appeal of the matches as well. And that's the reason some people get so invested.
No, like, not me.
No, not you. I think anyone who tunes in is like, you can't look away. You're kind of like, I don't want anything bad to happen. But if it does, I don't want to miss it. It sounds horrible, but if this is Taker's last match, I don't want to miss it.
Here's Alex in his little world again, Connor? Yeah. I'm glad you're back, buddy.
Oh, okay. I try to speak for the common man. I'm sorry that I can't be as esteemed as you guys. I speak for the common man, the NASCAR driver watcher, okay?
What's Sherlock Holmes' famous line? You're not a psychopath, you're a high-functioning sociopath.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, both events really good. Normally, I would never say that to Hell in Match. There is this, though. How much did the sell add to both those matches?
Good question. I looked at it and say that there wasn't any interference in either.
True.
So it
and
it,
I thought there would be. It, so you were right about that. I thought
so
there
it,
would be.
It proved its worth. It did have a more grueling feel to it, I felt.
Well, let's look at this. Let's compare. The last was it Night of Champions was the last pay per view.
I can't remember.
Okay, let's compare the last time. I guess SummerSlam was the last time Taker and Lesnar fought.
Yeah.
Let's compare that with this match. Let's compare the last Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt match with this match. Which one was better?
But is that
so
just,
it obviously added to it.
But is that just because also is the culmination of these feuds though that added to it?
I think it's the match type itself.
But why? Is it just the visual?
I think it's the visual part. But I think we are so we're denied no disqualification matches anymore, and it was nice to see one. I don't know if that's just me being a sociopath, but it was nice to see them be able to do whatever they want.
But then why couldn't it just be a no-holds-barred match?
When's the last time we saw a no-holds-barred match?
I can't remember. Exactly. They never go this far usually, but it's like, why can't they? Like, I'm just saying, cage thing, other than the no interference, I don't know if it adds
the cage
that much.
Makes it look harder than it actually looks. Because the throws into the cage are the least painful thing they're doing.
Yeah.
It just looks more painful than anything else.
Yes.
I think for me, when I see a match in a cell compared to one that's out, I'm always thinking about what's going to happen next, how it's going to happen, who's going to portray, who's going to come in. And with the Hell in a Cell, just with the fact that it's or any cage match, I get to the point where the match itself has to almost stand on its own because there's not going to be so much of an opportunity for an outside influence into it. And in both of these cases, I mean, it worked. Like, I mean, Paul Heyman was outside. And what do you remember of Paul Heyman in the match? Nothing.
Which is rare.
Which is rare. Absolutely rare. And usually it's a good thing having Paul Heyman involved in a match somehow. Actually, it's a great thing. But no, he was by the announce table and you barely heard his voice. And that was it.
Derry, I talked to you about this yesterday. Connor, I want to get your opinion on. So obviously it was pretty cool when Brock started ripping apart the ring.
Yep.
To reveal the wood underneath. Mm-hmm. But it was also in between. You can see the foam padding he took out too.
Yep.
And then JBL's like, it's just wood under there. Now you're seeing with another canvas, it's just wood. And I'm like, no, JBL, we can see that there's soft padding too normally that he had to remove. So did you feel that was too much? Do you think that it revealed too much? Or do you think it didn't really matter?
No, I don't think it really matters because the wrestling fans know that it's soft. like you have to be like a non wrestling fan to not know that the ring isn't
has like a little bit of
has
padding
a little
at
bit
least.
Of padding in it.
And I took what JBL said there in a completely different context. I think when he was referring to look, it's just wood under there, he was referring to it after the foam had been taken off.
I think he was suggesting that we ignore that. That like that's just the canvas. I think he was just saying like, oh, it's just canvas
but
and wood.
In either way, to me, it would just like he was
even if there's
to
like
wood.
That little bit of cushion. It was like you know how like a little memory foam.
Yeah.
You put on a bed.
Oh yeah.
Would you want to put that on a wooden floor and get slammed
no,
onto it?
Exactly. Not at all.
It's still
not
gonna
at all.
Hurt.
It's stoned on it.
It's really more to prevent people from getting injured rather than preventing pain. Yeah. You're gonna feel pain no matter what. It's just hopefully it's just you know you're not gonna get injured. It's the same thing as like taking what the point of taking a bump in general is right. It's like. You can throw yourself on your back 100 times. It's probably going to hurt 100 times. It's just you're not going to get injured mm-hmm. if you do it properly.
Yeah. No, I guess I never read too much into it. For me, I took it as him saying it after the foam was... Because, you know, Brock Lesnar's literally holding the foam
yeah.
when he's saying it.
But he said canvas. I think he specifically said canvas. I would have to go back. I scrutinize a lot what these morons say.
You micro.
Yeah, definitely. And then Taker missed the wood by like...
Oh,
he wouldn't even come close to it. However, he did like choke slam Brock right onto. Oh, that gave me the chills.
Aggressive match.
It was a neat twist.
It looked good. It looked great
yeah.
visual.
Yep.
I thought it looked so good. Yeah, and it just that little extra added thing.
I kind of wanted to see someone go through the wood, though.
That's what I thought they were setting up. Actually,
yeah,
that's what I thought they were setting up. And I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be someone's gonna get messed up.
2020, Taker Lesnar 4.
Because we've seen people go through the, you know, we've seen that people go through the ring before.
Yeah, obviously the wood's taken out.
Yeah, so that's yeah, I want to see the wood actually break.
Mm-hmm.
No, they couldn't do that. So after the match, and which I thought was a really good piece of booking, Bray Wyatt and his cronies come out, beat up Taker and get him out of there.
At the time. I was unsure of whether that was a great booking. I was hoping it would go somewhere. Because sometimes, you know, WWE just falls off the face of the earth and they don't follow up with anything. But I was glad that on Monday there was a...
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they actually have a plan.
We were talking before Monday Night Raw, me and Dario were. And I was saying that when Taker was getting beaten up like that, I was waiting for someone else to come in and save him.
Yep.
And I said, I want Kane to come in and save him.
I thought it was going to be Brock.
I thought it was going to be both of them. So now, where does this go? 4-on-4 Survivor Series match? That's what we were talking to. Who would be Taker's fourth?
Well, let's go with the second Monday Night Raw,
yes.
when Kane wind up coming out and the Wyatts attack him and carry him out in the same procession that they did Undertaker. So, like I said, there's two.
I keep telling you though, he's just going to become Corporate Kane again because that's how he became Corporate Kane in the first place.
Was
the Wyatts carried him off and he disappeared for 2 months and then came back as Corporate Kane. So I'm assuming they're just making him Corporate Kane again.
I don't think so.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just still mad that there was never any explanation for that. So
I think it's going to lead up to a
me.
Kane Undertaker match at WrestleMania.
Could it be Roman
Strowman.
Loser retires.
Strowman. Roman Dean?
Roman Dean?
As 3-4?
I think the Wyatt feud is over for him right now, though.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I think Strowman Taker.
Okay, we got a lot of things going on right now.
It would please me a lot that at Survivor Series they have a traditional match, which technically was 5-on-5, so I have no idea who would join the Wyatts, but I take a 4-on-4. And if this is Undertaker's final year, it would be a great way to see him go out.
It'd be a 25th anniversary at Survivor Series, so.
That's where he came in, right? But he's definitely going to wrestle at Mania. Like
no, I want to go back to what you said. Strowman? Why Strowman?
I don't know. I feel like he's a fresh name. I think by the time WrestleMania rolls around, I think they're behind him as far as pushing him. And I think Taker should win. I'm not saying Strowman should beat him. I think Taker should win.
I think Taker is going to have the choice of who's going to face at WrestleMania, and I don't think he's going to pick Strowman.
Who would he pick?
I don't know. Kane, maybe?
Yeah,
again? I think it might be the third time they faced off. It's like it'd be like Kane, Taker 3 or something.
Yeah, but that none of the Kane's ones were part of the streak.
Yeah, they were. Every match of WrestleMania was part of the streak.
I know, but nobody called it the streak back then.
Doesn't matter. It's all part of the streak.
There's no streak anymore anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
This isn't like Triple H where we pretend the first time he beat Triple H didn't happen. You know, it's like, they're like, oh, he only fought on WrestleMania twice. I'm like, okay. I understand the Kane thing. It'd be sentimental. It'd be a nice bookend. I don't know. There's really no obvious answer. Again, maybe by the time it rolls around, there will be one. But, yeah, don't know. But Strowman's my dark horse pick. I think for some reason they'll have built him up by then, and let Taker get a big win over him, and then that'll be the end of that.
I don't know if Taker's going to go off on a win.
I don't think he would want to.
No.
But I'm okay. But now that he put over Brock, I'm kind of okay if he does. He did that one loss. I'm kind of like, okay. Like, the streak doesn't really matter anymore, so.
I think he'll win the last match.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to. But I have a feeling if they
Kane versus Undertaker, WrestleMania. Loser retires. Undertaker beats Kane, and Undertaker retires too. They're both gone.
This is going to sound horrible. I never want to see Kane wrestle in a big profile match again. Let's talk about him and Seth Rollins.
I didn't mind him in that.
The match was fine. The match was not terrible at all. But it just goes to show you, when you have a storyline that is so bad, the crowd just could not into it.
As I said, it could have been a great match. It could have been a fantastic match. And it probably was, but...
It was not. I'll tell you this. It was not fantastic.
I didn't have... I was not emotionally invested into it.
It was not fantastic. We've been talking about this to death, but they're just not putting Seth in the ring with guys who can go with him, you know? And it's fine. He can wrestle a slow WWE-style match. That's great. He can do a good job with that. But his strength is being dynamic and being exciting, and I don't know why they keep pairing him up with guys who can't hang with him. And I love Kane. I think, again, like I said, I can't wait to be until he's a Hall of Famer. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. He deserves it.
Yep.
But he should not be wrestling for the world title, and he should not be wrestling guys like Seth Rollins and present. But I will say this. I like the story they told early on, because I think Seth dominated like the first half of the match. And I was like, yes, good. Like, this is the way it should be. He's the world champion, you know? So in that sense, like you said, the match wasn't bad at all.
I don't know how you guys feel about this. The last few times, I've kind of had a problem with the booking of the matches. I think the title match should be the end of
the night.
But
not on this night.
I know. It's Brocker. Brock and Taker. But I don't like it being third to last. Why put Kevin Owens? Like, I understand
you need to
go home match. But
no, you need separation.
Owens and Ryback were essentially thrown to the lions, as it were. Like, they knew that match wasn't gonna have any heat.
Can I say it? Can I? Do I have permission to say
please.
It? Owens Ryback was the woman's match. Was the go grab a coffee, go to the washroom before the main event?
Oh yeah,
that would normally be exactly. That would normally be Kelly versus
bring up a 3-3 women.
Kelly, don't be
because we've
Kelly
never
Kelly.
She is the worst.
Kelly versus Summer Rae.
Kelly, thank you. Kelly, I wish you the best in your current endeavors, but thank you for not being in a wrestling ring anymore.
Bring out something fresh, like a 3-on-3 women's wrestling match.
Oh,
because we haven't Divas because we haven't seen that at all.
I heard I missed one.
How about a Sheamus, Rusev, and Bad News Barrett? Versus
at least that's new.
Three baby faces.
At least that's new. At least that's
new.
A new team. Rusev, Sheamus, and Barrett. That's a new team.
Not really.
That's a relatively new team.
They've been doing different things like that for the last 3 months.
But have no Rusev, Sheamus, and not that exact combination. No way.
But yeah, I think they had to have something in there that was a tactical schedule.
Yeah.
Because you don't want those two kind of back to back.
It was just a coffee break.
I mean, take it a step back. When we go to was it NXT? Was it Brooklyn? When they had the first Sasha Bailey match.
Yeah.
And then they have that one and then the main event right after. And yeah, the main event was a great match, but nobody was talking about it at all.
Yeah, it was a ladder match, wasn't it?
I think that was the Finn Balor Kevin Owens match.
Yeah. A lot.
Which, like I said, was a great match.
It was a great match.
But
thankfully, sorry, moving back to our current topic, Seth Rollins is done with Kane. He's moving on to, as we saw on Raw, Roman Reigns. And I think these two, as far as Reigns, isn't he?
Who?
Roman Reigns.
Who cares?
He put up one good match.
He's had a bunch of good matches. He put up one good match. I think you guys are being way too hard on him.
Oh, no. I'm pro Roman Reigns. I think we should go back to the time when
Daniel Bryan.
We had a podcast without Connor. Hey, Connor, welcome back.
I'm okay with him being down on Roman. You know what? What Connor's saying is Roman Reigns still has to prove more. Which is fair. And I think this program is perfect for both of them. For Seth to get back to rest. Like I said, Roman Reigns is slow paced, obviously, but he's fast compared to Kane and Sting. And I think when you have a guy like Rollins to sell for him and things like that, I think they're going to have a great, great series of matches if this goes on for a while. I'm very excited.
Well, this is what you've been asking for along, right? Mm-hmm. Someone
under 40.
Somebody under 40, somebody who has less than 3 years experience in the WWE Raw program.
Something.
But I think, I think the two of them can put on a great performance. You got your muscle versus the speed, and Seth does put on great matches. Like, I don't necessarily agree with Sting, but I can see where Sting is coming from when he says that Seth is the best worker he's ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Seth can do that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he keeps Power Ranger.
Have a blue one.
He's got to be all the Power Rangers,
pink one.
Imagine how it'll be if they ever let him, like, feud properly with someone who can keep up with him. Just imagine that. Like, ugh. soon. That, like, he has yet to find his, if he's Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, he has yet to find his, you know, Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, his counterpart. We mentioned the women's match. The women's match, like, you know how you said that Owens Ryback fulfilled what would have been that break.
There was two breaks.
Well, this Charlotte, whoa. Are you saying the Charlotte Nikki Bella match?
I didn't think it was that great.
You are, sir, you are incorrect.
Hold on.
This is not a matter of,
no. We might be able to bridge it.
Fair enough. No, actually, right. That's legitimate.
It was the best
WWE
Nikki match I've ever seen.
It was the best Nikki Bella match I've ever seen,
okay,
for sure.
I'll take that.
And the moves that they put on there, like especially, what do you call it, that flapjack onto the ring apron?
No, the Alabama Slam.
Yes.
That was
I did
nasty.
Like that move.
Like, and there was a few that were there that I thought were quite impressive, and I just went, whoa. Yeah. I got that genuine they hate each other kind of vibe.
I hated the top rope backflip counter spot. I thought it looked so dangerous. Connor, do you remember the one I'm talking about?
I don't think I really paid attention to it, to be honest.
You should watch it. I recommend you should watch it again.
Rewatch it, yeah.
And I would never... I can't believe I'm telling someone to watch a Nikki Bella match more than once. I'm not a fan of hers at all. I read a lot of things that say she's gotten better, blah, blah, blah. And I honestly, I agree she's gotten better. But I still think, overall, she's gone from, like... I always say she went from a D to, like, a C minus.
No, she's still a D.
That performance on night...
It was good.
It was good.
Very a lot
good.
Of credit to
Very
Charlotte.
Good.
I think
Very
I've
good.
Just been spoiled with Sasha and Bayley.
But here's the thing is, I think there's a bit of a perception thing going on here, too. I think if this was Charlotte and Becky who had put on the same match, I think the internet would be going like crazy. But because it's Nikki, like, I had to look past my own bias because, again, I don't like Nikki. But as I was watching the match, I'm like, this is a really good match. If this was Charlotte and somebody else, the internet would be going crazy. But because it's Nikki, I don't think the match is getting the credit it deserves. I'm not saying it's on par with Sasha and Becky, obviously. But if I have to give credit where credit's due, it was a really just legitimately good wrestling match.
Here's... the way I judge whether it's a good match or not, I rarely fast forwarded through it. That because I didn't have a chance to see it live. But that was my...
You watched it on the WWE Network, right?
Of course.
Part of it was they let Charlotte show off her athleticism a lot throughout the match. They've been sort of having her do... I don't know why when they bring up these NXT... They did the same thing with Paige. These NXT like dominating women, they make them sort of the underdog babyface when they come up. And, like, just take, you know, they let the heel just beat them up for, like, 75% of the match, and then the girl comes back. If they had just let Paige be more assertive, or they just let Charlotte be more assertive right out of the gate, I mean, there might be a little more interest in what they're doing, but they finally took the handcuffs off a little bit for this match, and I think it worked out great. So, yeah, very good Nikki Bella match.
We got to talk about one more in that card.
We got to talk a couple more, but
there's
we don't
a couple more.
The New Day.
Oh, yeah. The opening match.
Well, that will use a segue into... That's our next topic. So, but the New Day, minus Xavier, was definitely missing something. They were excellent, but you could see the Xavier portion why it's so important. Connor, what did you think of... What did you think of their antics?
Oh, put your unicorn
horn
down.
Oh, no. Come on, unicorn guys. We went with the New Day opening, and you're not going to unicorn? He's off the New Day. He's our...
I love the New Day. Don't even say that.
Well, then get back to it, man. Okay, there we go. Thank you.
It was a really good match. There was that crazy botch at the beginning by D-Von and Bubba. Yes. They did miscommunication on that move. And then the fact that they were able to bring them back shows how good all four of these guys are. Because by the end of the match, the crowd was hot again. They were back into it. And sometimes that's hard to do, but you've got an experienced team.
Especially without Xavier.
Yeah. Just, you know, getting all that, so much heat with the trombone and, like, you know, yelling during the whole match. It just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So they just had to, shockingly... use their wrestling to get the crowd into it. And obviously all four of these guys are good. The Dudleys have seen it all. They've botched a million times. They've succeeded a million times. Nothing fazes them. And Kofi and Big E are just so fresh and such good workers that it was a really solid match.
This is the second pay-per-view that they've wrestled against each other. Is that correct?
Maybe more than that. I think at least third.
And no, I think it's the Raw that they had one too, right? So I think it's been three matches.
They've had one at the... live from New York.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. And Night Madison of Champions. Square. Night of Champions as well.
So Night of like, Champions, this is number three.
It is the third fourth pay-per-view.
I wouldn't count the Madison Square Garden pay-per-view. But
I'm just saying is that Dudleys keep losing one way, shape, or form. And yet, my hand's up. I want to see a fourth match because I enjoy it. And again, we want to go back to Dario's rating. The only entrance that I do not fast forward through, the New Day, man. They're awesome. Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you want to see a fourth match for the Dudleys. Is that because they put on a good match, or is it due to the fact that there's no other tag teams?
I don't know what they did to the primetime players that were...
yeah,
spared them.
Like,
spared them.
The Lucha Dragons. I mean, we mentioned this before. I think in last week's show. Forget about the Olay guys, but there it was a division. There was a good tag team division. Even the Wyatts had a good tag. Like, I mean, there's so many of them.
Is there any news on when the Usos are back?
I have no idea about that injury, but I mean, eventually, I think we're going to see the Dudleys get the belt for a 10th time, and that's what I keep.
I think they need to push it on for a long time, like have them win at WrestleMania or something. Just have like the long journey.
That would be great. And yeah. I don't know if when they were retiring, but
I'll say the old fashioned, like they lost against New Day twice. They're now back at the bottom. They have to work their way back up.
Guys, I think we're about a month or two away from once again the WWE saying like the tag team division is back. It's back. Just like the dunk contest every year. It's like it's always coming back, and it's like why can't it stay? Why can't the tag division stay? Why does it always have to come back? Like,
they don't have enough resources, right? Because the women's division came back, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I was like currently women's wrestling is back.
It's back.
Women's wrestling is back. Currently.
It's a revolution.
Yes, and then so then that will go away, and then tag team wrestling will come back. And then the Intercontinental title is back, guys. It is back. Let's talk about the opener. I was not keeping up with any spoilers or rumors. So I had no... I was shocked when...
Yeah, I was completely shocked, too.
Alberto Del Rio came back.
That makes three of us.
What did you guys think of the Zeb Coulter? You guys saw Raw. I didn't. So taking that into account as well, what do you think of the whole him coming back with Zeb Coulter?
I think Alberto Del Rio has always been better with a manager. When he had,
oh, of course,
I can't remember what his name was.
Ricardo Ricky. Rodriguez.
Yeah. So when he had him, he was awesome. But I think when he came back, who else was there? He could have brought Rodriguez back, I guess. Mm-hmm. But with Zeb, it was nice to see him back. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like this whole Mexican American or whatever. I don't like that. But I like
heels?
That he has someone.
Are
yeah,
the heels?
Heels.
Okay.
Nah. I didn't like Zeb and Jack Swagger together. I don't know why. I was never that interested in it.
They're okay.
Maybe it's just because I hate America. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No. With Zeb, I want to see the dynamic work. Obviously, to me, I'm looking at it already going, when are they going to split up? Because you know that there's going to be some friction there. And that's why I don't look at it as being a genuine connection. Because I'm already anticipating the breakup. You know, when you have your best friend and he's dating a girl and you just know that that's not going to last.
Connor? Oh.
Oh.
What? Oh, so I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm kidding.
I wasn't even going there. That was that was him.
She's a lovely girl.
That was
She's
him.
A lovely girl.
Did you guys have any other expectations of who was going to show up?
Samoa Joe, I'd heard, is a late rumor or something like that. But then based on what I saw in the NXT spoilers, that probably wasn't going to happen. So
there's two names that I was thinking of.
Go ahead.
Daniel Bryan.
Yep, good call. That would have been cool.
He could have come back.
Yeah, he's probably still too injured. But
Sami Zayn
was, yeah, I don't know what his return date is, so that would have been cool. And to have him actually beat John Cena.
Yeah.
Right? They would have made so much
because
sense.
Because we all knew he was going to give up the title.
Yeah. We were just wondering to who and how.
Yeah.
And why is he off air for a while? He just needs a break?
I think he just needs time off.
Yeah, it's personal time, I think.
Okay. You know what I want to see him do when he comes back? This is going to be a bit of a shocker, and I know he's has to go on Raw, but
16-time world champ?
No. Because I think if there's anything that's been a pain in John Cena's behind, it's been NXT. Wade Barrett and the NXT group came in with Nexus. Kevin Owens came up. You know, it's always been somebody from NXT. So I want him to go to NXT and just destroy everybody.
Just start beating people up.
Just start beating people up and coming up as you know.
Come here, Josh.
I think it's pretty obvious when he's where he's coming back. When?
Tell me.
Royal Rumble?
I was about to say, is he number 28?
Yeah.
Can he come back for the Survivor Series with Taker and Kane?
That's too soon.
That's like a month, right?
How I think he's taking like a couple, like 2-3 months.
He can't last That's that long. He's going to need to come back to work.
I don't know about him lasting that long. Can the WWE last that long? But and let me flip it around, getting it off John Cena for a second. And we've had a bit of this discussion before, and Connor, just your opinion. How do you feel with Rio getting the belt on his very first match back?
And more specifically, being able to beat John Cena in 10 minutes when Owens and Rollins, after 9 million finishers, could not beat him. Connor?
I don't mind it.
Okay.
I think it it shows that it just puts him over. And that was like, I don't know how to explain this.
I know what you're saying. So
it shows that he is as good as people remember him as, kind of.
But it also makes it look like he's better than Seth Rollins, the world champion, and Kevin Owens, the Intercontinental champion. Is that fair to say?
I would say Kevin Owens.
Seth Rollins.
They've never fought.
No, well, I'm saying Seth Rollins has not been able to beat John Cena ever. So, except with the help of John Stewart. And he's hit John Cena with, like, whatever, however many moves. This is the problem with all those escalating Cena matches is it made it impossible to, not impossible, it made it difficult to make moments like this acceptable. I'm okay with it. The announcers did a good job of putting over, like, oh, it's a surprise. Like, he has no way of preparing for this opponent. So it's like, and I'm like, that kind of makes sense. So he's, you know, if he had time to prepare
for
it.
Time and time again, though.
But he didn't know, that he was coming this time.
But I mean, I think with Cena as well, though, he could have, if you want to look at it from a storytelling perspective, an off night. You know, he was the same John Cena that got suplexed 18 times by Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
And then came back and put on a great performance against him, even though he still got the loss. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, maybe he just had a bad night.
He got caught. He's like an MMA fighter. He just got caught by a right hook and just went down. And, you know, you can only defend your title so many times before. I did hate JBL going like, I told you this was going to happen. And I'm like, you know, if you call it every night, it's not.
Eventually, you're going to be right once.
Yeah, you're
right?
Not. You didn't call it.
what's the old saying? Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Twice a day. But, yeah, overall, no problem.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead, yeah.
By the way, Connor, a clock for you youngin', it's a thing that used to hang on the wall and it used to tell time. Not verbally say it, you'd actually have to look at it.
Thanks.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Pop.
You're welcome.
Overall, I thought it was a great card. And someone else wrote, there's been a few articles about this online that, like, if anything, these continued good, high quality of these special events shows you don't need to watch Raw or SmackDown, and you'd be like, no, I'm not being facetious. I mean,
I was about to say, it really makes Raw look bad.
No, it's just if you were ever going to pick a time to where, like, you know, there's only so many hours in a week, and I don't want to watch 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown and NXT, and I just want the meat of the product, you actually really can't. And of course, their videos are so good. The videos that recap the feuds are awesome. Mm-hmm. So really, if you were to say, I only want to watch the special events every month or however when they're on, you could totally get away with that and still be a pretty, like, devout WWE fans. So credit to the company for their special events, and I guess what was also a decent Raw, but still a bit of a finger.
Quickly go
shame.
Over Raw.
That's
go ahead. Yeah, what do you want to say?
No, but that's Alex Lee pontificating and validating his own ban of watching Raw.
Yes.
Well, I'm not the only one.
You might be right, and very well are right, but I'm just saying validating your own opinion.
They're lucky my ban is only temporary, because it looks like millions of people have done a ban over the last, like, year. So I don't know if I'm defending my opinion or the opinion of everyone else who's chosen not to watch Raw anymore.
I think this Monday's, though, you missed it. I would say it was a pretty good one. I liked it.
Mind you don't have, like, a fatal four-way too often for the number one contendership.
Yeah.
I thought the matches were
you don't often see
decent.
A number one contender tournament anymore.
Yeah. Except no, it was good. It was a good Raw.
I'm leaving the Raw talk to you guys. I'm still.
Nah, let's skip.
It's part of my boycott. This is the second week of my boycott, which means even when I know it's going to be good, I have to, or if people tell me it's good, I have to stand by the boycott. What kind of boycott is it?
I have one question for you, though, Dario. You know?
Sure.
Didn't
Brock, watch it. Just
did
kidding.
Did Brock Lesnar not win on Sunday? Why was he not in the tournament?
Good question.
And I was hoping for a Brock Lesnar-Charlotte match. I just wanted to see Brock Lesnar fight on Raw again.
Hold on a second. And I think that it is a very good question. I'm not sure. Maybe he was injured. Maybe they have something different. But I like the whole angle of Brock versus Charlotte. I think that's a great angle.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is probably a good segue into.
I thought that was going somewhere dark. That's right. We mentioned Del Rio, and we mentioned intergender wrestling, as you just did, which you're right. Brings us to what we promised we would do last week, and that is start watching the latest wrestling sensation, which concluded its first season a few months ago and is now starting to film its second season, hopefully soon, Lucha Underground. Now, guys, we've been hearing for a long time that what a different product this was, and, you know, I unfortunately had read a lot of the stuff about it already, so, you know, I'm not going in for the surprises. I'm going in to sort of analyze the product and see the talent and stuff. And I was happy I did, because it was different. It was refreshing. I don't want to say better or worse, but different and refreshing. And right now, that's, I think, very much what a lot of wrestling fans could use.
Yeah, I really enjoy. I'm glad you gave me that. I was able to watch the. I watched the first two episodes. I think you guys watched the first three.
Yeah.
I just want to start by saying the cinematography in those vignettes they had was unbelievable.
The production value was far
yeah.
better than I had ever anticipated. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
Mark Burnett.
Yep, Mark Burnett.
Yes. How did his name get associated with that?
Robert Rodriguez, the film director.
Well, and the thing is that every time I look at it, it surprises me when I see his name on the credits. I'm going,
yeah.
Well, and that shows you something. Actually, you know, with my fast forward rule, I actually watched the credit.
It doesn't seem like a wrestling show. It seems like a dramatic television show.
It mm-hmm. seems like a dramatic television show that has wrestling,
yeah.
not a wrestling show that has dramatic aspects to it. I agree. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And it's so nice because the format of wrestling as we see it on TV, you know, WWE is always touting how Raw is the longest running episodic show on television, blah, blah. But I mean, that's both a good thing and a bad thing, because obviously the formula gets stale after a while, right? When you can't, and it's hard to innovate because people have been used to seeing the same thing for so long. You can't just spring new things on them. So only when a new company comes along with, you know, no necessarily established audience, can they just kind of do whatever they want. And maybe you'll fail, maybe you won't, but at least these guys tried to do something different. And, you know, they've had some success. They've had some success as far as I can see. And this first episode I thought was really encouraging. It starts off with, like, we see, like, a street fight, some sort of, like, street fight incorporating, like, lucha moves. And it's one guy talking to another guy and sort of, I guess, inviting him to what is the lucha underground temple.
I like the arena itself, the whole temple, the stairs coming down. That is unique to it. You know, and I look at the format of it as well, because I think when you're comparing shows, you have Raw, 3 hour. You have Lucha Underground, 1 hour. And there's pros and cons to both. Because, like, with the 1 hour, you have no room for fluff. You just don't. So everything that you put on there, everything that you, you know, every second, every minute has to advance it further and further. And you can put in a really nice, tight show together. The good thing about the 3 hour format for Raw is that you have room to try new things, which WWE hasn't used. But something like, you know, the New Day, for example, the Yes Chant, for example, are things that I think caught on unexpectedly, but that's because they had a 3 hour show to fill, mm-hmm. which you won't have that on this one here.
The only thing with, and the other good thing about having so much time, Darrow, is that you can have, you know, one or two good long matches. When you're only working with an hour, especially in these first two episodes, which are sort of introductory, they had these really cool vignettes for characters too. You know, they would show, like the first episode, they had one for Sexy Star and who was the other one for? Prince Puma.
Prince Puma, yep.
Otherwise known as Ricochet on the North American scene and in Japan. And those are really cool, and you need them. You know, again, you're starting a new company. You need them. You want to say why your character. You can't assume that people know that it's Ricochet under there and they know who Ricochet is. You can't assume that people are fans of Sexy Star's work in AAA or something, because I had never seen a AAA match of hers before, right? So you need to establish, like, this is why this person's a big deal. Here are their sort of basic character traits. And it works. And again, in the first two episodes, unfortunately, doesn't leave a lot of time for to show their actual wrestling. It's not until episode three, which we won't talk about too much now, but that we get like a good 15-minute match, that main event of episode three pop.
Wow,
which is really good. And then, but before that, every match is like in the first two episodes is something like Prince Puma and Mundo. It was like 10 minutes, over 10 minutes.
But that was a great match too.
The first match, yeah. How did it feel seeing John Morrison again, guys, in a sort of a essentially the same character, but like a different environment?
I've always liked him.
Yeah, I can't say I've always liked him. I didn't really like the whole Eminem thing they had going on, and I didn't really enjoy it that much. But it was nice to see him again, and I forgot how much how talented he was.
I've had a thing with my sons enjoying to do parkour. There's the one parkour gym in Toronto that I take him occasionally, and so I've always wanted to keep seeing Johnny Mundo because I know how involved he is, and he has that acrobatic lucha style, which is perfect, and he looks like identical to Jim Morrison, so he's got that rock star image too. So I always thought that you know, he was going to be the bigger and best out of the Eminem thing. But so I was really good to see.
He is the best one out of the two.
But he's not a two-time world champion.
No.
Does he have a sweet job with J&J Security right now?
Whatever happened to them?
You know, Pop was actually just asking about that yesterday, sadly.
I still miss him.
It is funny, though, that it's almost like they were like a band where one of them is still kind of chasing his rock star dreams while the other guy like got like a corporate job.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man, just come. We can be J&J Security. It's like, no, man, I'm still going to, I got that hit song. It's still going to, it's in me, man. It's still going to come.
But in terms of that, there's also, they opened up the show with Blue Damon Jr.,
yes,
who I wasn't familiar with, but right. I know he's got quite a history.
Big deal, yeah.
And Chavo.
Chavo Guerrero.
I mean, one of the Guerreros.
See, I think it was a miss to have that as the first match.
I think they needed a name. I think that, well, I thought they thought that it was best to start off with a name like Chavo, because out of all of them, I think Chavo has the biggest name in North
America.
The
biggest name, yeah. But I respect what a Blue Demon Jr. has done through his career, but he doesn't have it anymore.
No.
Like, he looked sloppy in that ring.
Yeah.
He remember, looks slow. He looks out of shape.
Yeah.
But you saw episode two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're from a different era with where they do different things. Like, people, I'm going to get destroyed by this on the internet if anyone actually listened to our show. Mil Mascaras is one of the greatest, Latin stars of all time. Huge moneymaker. People love him. If you try and watch a Mil Mascaras match, you will fall asleep. I'll tell you right now. It's just a different kind of wrestling. And I don't even mean slow Southern style. I like slow Southern style wrestling. It's just, he's the kind of guy, he was so over at his peak, he could, like, you know, throw the other guy out of the ring and literally just kind of, like, walk around for, like, 3 minutes and do nothing and just, like, you know, get a reaction from the crowd, which is great. But for me, who doesn't have that context of why the guy's a big deal, I'm just like... So I think Blue Demon... I'm speaking totally out of ignorance here. But I think Blue Demon might be sort of the same aspect, just a different style we're not used to. But I defend them starting with Blue Demon and Chavo, because if you look how they structured the episode, so you had Blue Demon, Chavo, there's your names, your legend. We're talking about, we're respecting the heritage of Lucha. You have Son of Havoc, our own Smash Wrestling, Matt
Cross.
When
we say our own, yeah.
Son of Havoc.
I know him.
And Sexy Star. So they were showing, hey, guess what? This is, we let men and women mix it up here. And then the main event, Mundo and Puma, these are your main event stars. These are the future guys. So it might have not been the most entertaining episode, but it did lay out the structure very clearly of what Lucha was about. It was a very economical, hour.
Yeah, it was thought out. And when was the last time we said that Monday Night Raw was well thought out? Exactly.
I wonder if I should be watching SmackDown then, because I was about to say, you know, a benefit obviously is that these episodes are all pre-taped. They have a whole plan. They can edit it after. Anything that didn't make sense, they can sort of edit it, put in a different order. I wonder if I should be watching SmackDown, because that's a pre-taped show. I wonder if they, I honestly have not watched SmackDown in probably a year, like a whole episode beginning to end.
The answer is no.
No?
That's it.
So I guess the answer is no. I guess Connor has.
I've tried to watch SmackDown before. It's just a low quality version of Raw, and you don't like Raw to begin with.
I've heard that recently, yeah, that there's moments, but sometimes they just kind of regurgitate.
Yeah.
So the first episode ends with a run-in from Cisco, Cortez, Castro, and
Big Rick,
formerly as Ezekiel Jackson of the WWE, recently retired, actually. Big Rick is a beast.
Yep.
Cortez and Cisco, not so much. Being kind?
No, and again, it almost looks
I like their
it,
look.
It though. Highlights, makes yeah. Big Rick look bigger.
Yes,
I enjoy their look.
Cortez is at least somewhat fit. Cisco,
they look like just a Mexican gang, and I like it.
He looks like an annoying gnat, you know, like
yeah,
he's tiny. He's
does.
Not going to hurt you, but he'll get under your skin. He'll bother you and distract you enough
until
Big Rick comes in.
I just don't know if he was selling it that way. I think maybe when we watch the episodes further, maybe that's what his character becomes. But I'm like, if this guy's, because they come in and they beat up the two guys who just were in the main event, I'm like, if these guys are supposed to be a big deal, I'm like, Cisco's a little. I'm sorry, Cisco. Cisco, if you're out there, I apologize. I am no Adonis myself. I should not be criticizing him. He's a professional wrestler. He moved okay. You know, as long as he can move in the ring, that's what matters, right? It's not a bodybuilding contest. So they opened up the next show with a match with Mundo and Puma, which ended.
And I loved Big Rick sitting on the stairs smoking a big stogie.
Yeah,
that was
great.
Awesome.
Like, and then getting up and walking away, right? Like,
yeah.
I
didn't interfere with the match. No. Just sat there and watched it, even though his guys lost.
Yeah.
He's a mean-looking dude. And then at the end, he's just taking straight dolo from... sorry. We should have talked about Dario Cueto. the second best Dario that we know now. Yes,
I like him. I wonder why.
You can tell again that he's just an actor.
Right on, it's Dario.
Dario. You can tell he's an actor. You know what's funny is Matt Stricker goes out of his way to sort of try and pronounce the names with like Latino accent, and Vampiro doesn't. Vampiro says Dario. Vampiro says Dario Cueto, but then Matt Stricker will be like Dario Cueto or something, and I'm like, okay, I don't know. I guess that makes sense. Like,
I'm actually enjoying Vampiro's commentary.
We were just talking about
Vampiro
that.
Is terrible.
No, I mean, I listened to the beginning opening again when they did the main event match. And he just cuts up Matt Stryker. It was kind of funny.
He has his moments, but his moment-to-moment commentary during the matches is...
Okay. I like Matt Stryker more than
I still like Matt Stryker, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm different.
And he says brother more than Hulk Hogan.
Yes. That is very annoying. I'll give you that. Definitely.
You could at least go like Hermano or something. Like, at least mix it up. Put that Lucha Underground spin on it. But no, he's brother. And this is edited. Think about this. They did this sit-down interview with him and Chavo. Oh, wait, did you see? I don't know if that's episode 3. It might be episode 3. So they do a sit-down interview with him and Chavo. And it's, like, edited. And I think they still couldn't edit out all the brothers. I think, like, he just says it too much. So,
all right, let's go back to Dario.
Please, let us.
Dario. I'm not Spanish.
So the show was filmed in L.A. So obviously no shortage of actors there. This guy, I don't think he has any history in wrestling. They got an actor, and which is good because this is a character that requires acting.
Yep. Right. And I really enjoyed how he just sits in his office and just opens the door and yells out something.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, you're fighting this guy right now. Go.
You know what I really liked? I think it was at the end of the first episode when he has a sit down with Chavo and tells him, you know, I brought you in here to take care of Blue Demon and you tapped out.
Oh, this is the middle of the first episode.
It was the middle of the, and it's a good scene. And he goes, and now I have to bring in somebody next week, which went to me going, I got to watch it next week, which Raw rarely does anymore.
Is
push something. This is what's going to happen. But that's what I miss. And who comes up in week two? But 1,000 deaths, which is a cool name.
Mil Muertes.
He's with a Katrina
dude. Mm-hmm. That dude, I don't know where he's from. I was trying to find like if he's somebody else.
What's meaner looking? Mil Muertes or Katrina's tongue licking a face?
That doesn't look mean looking to me at all. That looks very welcome. And
yeah, I know. I
watched that.
Wanted an excuse to mention Katrina's tongue. That's all.
I like the two. So Oh, you didn't see the next one. Anyway, everyone she does do, they always wipe it off after.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know where this girl's been. I'm not. I'm not taking my chances.
She's kissed 1,000 deaths.
She's licked 1,000.
And she's got to get into the ring soon, I think.
Yeah. So she's Maxine from the NXT, the original NXT. And she was actually good there for a while. It's a shame they never brought her up to the main roster. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure what the disagreement was, but there's something there. I mean, there's definitely a charisma there. And I don't know if she wrestles during the show. Again, I've looked ahead a bit, but I can't remember. Yeah, it'd be good if she did. Yeah,
I like that big boot to the side of the head with her heels on.
Oh, that wasn't was very like, nice at
holy.
All.
Holy.
That was it looked really like she just rocked his head. And I'm like, that's tough to pull. And speaking of women, and we'll mention the other woman, Eva Lys, Son of Havoc's partner, who partnered with Son of Havoc against Sexy Star and Chavo on episode 2, again showing some of that intergender action. Eva Lys, another former WWE employee, she was on Tough Enough, and also briefly when they were with FCW, the Florida Championship Wrestling. Again, I don't know what happened there. She went to TNA. She almost pursued a career in MMA, and she doesn't quite have a home. She's kind of like a big indie worker, but is not doesn't have an established home. I always thought WWE was going to pick her up again, but it hasn't happened yet. But I thought that was a good match.
And the first two episodes, all six matches, and even go to the third episode that we saw, I enjoyed all the matches. So like the wrestling itself has been very good.
Now we brought this up last week, and kind of this is a good question for you too. Is it just because it's different? Do we have a gauge of how good the show is yet, or are we just kind of still in the honeymoon phase, as it were?
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a good show, and with the three matches that you like each week, I'm sure they probably have more matches. They just pick their top three matches to put show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they have only the hour. If it was 2 hours, they would put some of the matches that you won't enjoy as well.
No, I agree. I still think, though, it's still early. I still think it's a honeymoon phase, and give it some time and then see where it takes it. But at least I'm at the point now, still, three matches in, that I want to watch more.
Do you think WWE would ever consider stealing some things from Lucha Underground, like the way they film? Like, maybe take SmackDown and turn that into almost like a Lucha Underground-esque show. Maybe let, you know what I mean? Maybe let Monday Night Raw be the reality era show, the representative of the reality era, and SmackDown almost become like this serialized drama, like what Lucha Underground is. Would they ever try and cross that line?
I don't think they'll try to do anything different until Vince is gone.
Fair.
I mean, you know, learn history or be doomed to repeat it. What did they do to ECW? They steal. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. We all do. They'll find a way to steal it if the majority of people pick up on things like Lucha Underground, as we have. Of course they will.
The interesting thing will be is, so oddly, that we've yet to see, and I'm not counting Del Rio because he was a WWE star first, nobody from Lucha Underground yet, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone, has been picked up by the WWE, which is strange.
I hope Prince Puma does. Just through the first matches.
He's gotten workouts, apparently. I think he's gotten NXT tryouts a couple of times, and for whatever reason, maybe they just don't have room for him right now. But
you know, there's one thing that we haven't talked about that has been, in my eyes, glaringly missing?
The Cruiserweight title?
Any title in Lucha Underground.
It's coming.
About to say, like, there's no belt, there's no champion, there's no... And usually you would think that would be like your first main event would be a championship match kind of thing, but... Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it because, again, like I said, I read a lot.
Yeah, I know who
won. But I'll tell
first.
You, the lore of this show gets pretty crazy. It gets in there. Like, I'm glad the first two episodes are a lot of setup of the characters and things, because later they start doing some stuff,
weird stuff,
some stuff that, again, it only works within the fiction that they establish in these first two episodes. So, I'm very excited. I actually want to watch, if we had time, we should say, just to close out this show, that next week might be our last show that the three of us do together, at least for the near future, because our school program is winding down. The Centennial Sports Journalism program that brought us together in the first place is winding down. And frankly, we just might not have access to this booth anymore. So the Lucha Underground binge watching will have to continue independently. Hopefully, we'll find some way in the future to continue doing another podcast, but... I'm not going to say my farewell. I'm getting choked up already, so I'm not going to say my farewells now. I'll save it for next week. But just to let people know, this is the penultimate episode of As the Heel Turns, and it's been a pretty fun ride so far.
Yeah, it's definitely been fun. I hope in the future we'll be able to get the three of us together again and do another show.
Definitely. I want to find a way to keep talking shop, because obviously we're all passionate about wrestling. And
frankly, I have no other friends that like wrestling. You're my only
you're
two
making
wrestling
them now.
Fans.
Jamie Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler
I'm
Bitten.
Making new wrestling fans.
I was about to say. I thought Connor's saying he has no other friends.
Oh, that's true. That too. Yeah.
We all know that's not true.
But no, yeah. Hopefully we'll find a way. I'm sure we will.
And maybe someday we'll actually get a wrestler on the show. That would be amazing. No. Sebastian Swab, I am so sorry. I will call you soon. He's very kindly offered to be on the show several times, and timing has just not worked out. But we will get a wrestler on the show someday.
And it would be nice to, at some point, actually even get, like, a dollar. You know, get paid.
That's not why we do this. But I'll tell you, after seeing Dario Cueto just open up a briefcase of cash and just freaking throw it around. I'm starting to, you're right, I'm starting to rethink this whole operation.
Just want to make a dollar. Just a dollar.
So thank you, guys. And thank you, Lucha Underground, for giving us an alternative right now. Best of luck. And also, best wishes to Rusev, who may have suffered an injury at a taping yesterday.
Oh, no.
Maybe. It could be nothing. But yeah, Ruru.
He can heal with Lana.
Ruru, get well soon. You're our hero, and you know that. So thanks a lot, everybody.